Lane. Okay, alive and well, are you? Well, let's see here. Why don't you get out a clean sheet of paper? Why don't you get out a clean sheet of paper? We're going to have a little quiz. It's called Pop Quiz. Put your name at the top so we know who you are. Get out a sheet of paper, clean sheet, put your name at the top, and the date, class, and your grade. And don't put that on yet. We'll take care of that later. Okay. And I'll have a little quiz here. Okay, number one. What does the term seed of woman imply about Christ's birth? What does the term seed of woman imply? Now, I did not say state. It states seed of woman, but what does that imply? Now, I brought this out in class as having a definite impact on messianic prophecy, in that he was called seed of woman. What does that imply? Let me give you one hint. It does not mean, it does not imply that he was born of a woman, because everybody's born of a woman. That's not what it's saying. That's what it says. What does it imply? Something it implies that's different than any other person. Okay? Got that? Number two. The serpent's head in Genesis 3:15 refers to what? What does it refer to? The serpent's head. Number three, Christ's heel being bruised refers to what incident? And then, what does it imply about this incident, seeing that it's a heel that is bruised? Something very important implies about that. And to get the implication, remember that the contrast is the head crushed versus heel bruised. Okay, what was the incident? And then his heel being bruised, what does that refer to and what does that imply about that incident? In contrast to the head being crushed, the serpent's head.
Four.
Number four. In 1 Timothy 2, 13 through 15, Paul teaches that the woman, not the man, was deceived, but she shall be saved in the childbearing. In childbearing. To what does the phrase childbearing primarily refer? And childbearing has a definite article in front of it. Let me read that again. This is question number four. 1 Timothy 2, 13 through 15, Paul teaches that the woman, not the man, was deceived. But she has a chance because she shall be saved in childbearing. What is childbearing there primarily referring to? And it's got the definite article in front of it. You could call it the childbearing. Have a test. Pop quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead and get out a piece of paper. Get out a piece of paper, put your name on it, and whatever number. Well, that was number four. Number five. There is two or three places where it prophesies about Christ, but it's speaking about David and his kingdom. And he shall have an everlasting kingdom. But then it says, and if he commit iniquity, it's talking about Solomon, and you know, it goes on. Talks about Solomon, and it's obviously prophetic of Christ. And then it says, and if he commit iniquity, I shall chasten him, and so forth. Now, the question is, if he committed iniquity, does that also refer to Christ? It goes on and says, David, you know, it's talking about David, and then it talks about Solomon, how his seed, and so forth, and then his throne should be established forever. But if he commit iniquity, and his throne shall be established forever, is Jesus. Then it says, but if he commit iniquity, does that also refer to Christ? If so, how? And if so, how? You know, you have to prove yourself on this one. And if not, why? Number six. Why did the Jews really have no excuse when they accused Jesus of blaspheming because he claimed to be God though he was a man? Why did the Jews have no excuse when they accused Jesus of blaspheming because he claimed to be God though he was a man? Have a tip, pop quiz. So, that's question number six. Why didn't the Jews have an excuse? Why didn't they, as a nation, have an excuse of saying that he blasphemed when he said he was God? When he made himself God. Why didn't they have an excuse when he said that he was God, though he was just a man? Okay, number seven. Name one specific way in which Jesus was a prophet like unto Moses. Does the prophet son of a prophet like unto Moses shall arise? Hear ye him. How was Jesus a prophet like Moses? Remember, I gave you a number of reasons in class why Moses was a special prophet, and that in those ways it typified Christ. Number eight. In the vision that Jacob had of the ladder going to heaven, what did the ladder signify? And then two, who did the ladder represent? What does the ladder speak of? What does it speak of? A ladder from earth up to heaven. What does that speak of? And then who fulfilled it? Who is the fulfillment? Who is the anti-type of that type? All of these offices, by the way, were given as prophecy. He was prophesied to fulfill all of these offices. The 70 weeks of Daniel are how many years? Given to us in Daniel, was it to be from the going forth of the commandment to build and restore Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince? How many years was that? the going forth of the commandment until the Messiah, the Prince. How many years was that? And then number 12, what event in the life of Christ is most likely referred to when it says unto Messiah the Prince? What event in his life is it most likely referring to when it says to the Messiah the Prince? It says from the going forth of the commandment unto the Messiah the Prince. When is that time? The Messiah, the Prince. What time is most likely referred to? Okay, and then number 13. There is a gap. Let me say it this way. Why is there a gap in God's reckoning of time between Christ being cut off in the midst of the week and the completion of that week at the end of time? Why was there a gap in God's reckoning of time in that last week of Christ confirming the covenant? Why was there a gap? Why wasn't it all at once? Why was there a gap in that last week when Christ confirmed the covenant? Talked about it quite a bit in class, actually. Number 14. Yes.
You're not talking about the other gap.
No.
Between 490 years.
Brother, no. I'm talking about in the last week, there was a gap in the middle of that week. Why? Okay, number 14. Who fulfilled the last 3.5 years of the 70th week? Who fulfilled that? Okay, number 15. You're going to have to use your pencils on this one. I mean, your thinking or something. You have to do some figuring. If one in every 2,000 people is blind, one in every 5,000 is deaf, and one in every 500 is crippled, what is the probability that a person would have all three conditions, assuming that all three conditions are independent of each other? Okay? If one in every 2,000 people is blind, 2,000, one in every 5,000 is deaf, and one in every 500 is crippled, what is the probability that one person will have all three conditions? They're totally independent of each other. Pardon? Okay, it's 2,000 blind, 5,000 deaf, and 500 crippled. 2,000, 5,000, and 500. Blind, deaf, and crippled. How many will have all three conditions? What's the probability that one person will have all three conditions? It's very simple. Any one of you can do it right. All you have to do is blah, 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 blah.
Don't look on the neighbor's paper to do that.
Okay, number 16. In Hosea 11 and verse 1, it says, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Give two fulfillments of this word given by Hosea. One is a historical fulfillment, one is a prophetic fulfillment. When it was written, one was historic, one was prophetic. What are those two fulfillments? Out of Egypt have I called my son. Number 17. What two scriptures in Genesis could be considered foundational messianic prophecies for all the rest of the Old Testament? And I want you to list the two references and then in brief detail which is in each. In other words, just give a phrase so that I know that you know which verse that is.
Would you repeat it?
Okay. What two scriptures in Genesis could be considered foundational messianic prophecies for all the rest of the Old Testament? The two main scriptures that are foundation for all other prophecy that I gave you in the book of Genesis. This particular question is 8 points, 4 points for each scripture, and I'll only put 1 point for the exact reference, but 3 points, to know what's in it. Number 18. How many are not done on 17? Can I give you just a minute? Number 18. In what Old Testament chapter do we see the most clear picture of the vicarious sufferings of Christ? We find out, it says in the same chapter, we find out that he had no outward beauty that we should desire him. What chapter in the Old Testament gives us the most clear picture of the vicarious sufferings of Christ? It's absolutely the clearest. It's undoubtedly the most quoted portion of Scripture, some feel, in the Old Testament. Because it's so often referred to, especially by people who are talking about salvation and whatnot, and healing. And in that, it says that he has no outward beauty that we should desire him. I'll give you one more hint. It says that by his stripes we are healed.
appointed to get the red book?
Pardon me?
You're appointed to get the red book?
Yeah.
Well, you're appointed to get the red book.
That's the kind of 14. Okay. Back and correct the paper. I want you to exchange with your neighbor. Are there any other questions first?
No.
Pardon me?
What was question
14? Question number 14. Do you want the answer or what did you want? Who fulfilled the last 3.5 years of the 70th week? Okay, go ahead and exchange papers. Put your name down as corrector. Do a good job correcting now. And always put the right answer down for them, okay? And minus points in the margin. And we'll add them up, subtract from 100 when we're done. All right, what does the term seed of woman imply about Christ's birth? Who can tell me? What does that imply? Doris? Pardon me? Okay.
Virgin birth.
Exactly, virgin birth. What are you gonna say, Don?
I was gonna say, Messianic
seed
has come through a woman.
Yeah, I'm gonna allow that because see, the point is that it wasn't through man. This one wasn't through man because he was born of a virgin. God was the man here. See, God was the Father here. So if they have a point down that gives the implication. That it was that Jesus was born of a virgin. You know, that's the idea, is that he was born of a virgin. It wasn't through man. That's why it's seed of a woman. It wasn't seed of man, because always before it was seed of man. This time it's seed of woman. And so that's the point. It was born of a virgin. And if it gives the idea of it's a messianic line, and therefore not by man, but rather through woman, so that's saying the same thing. They don't have to say that as long as the implication is it would have to have been because it couldn't have been by man, see? Yes?
Could the implication be a specific line of heritage? That is, it narrows it down to a particular line.
In other words, like a genealogy we're talking about?
Yes, and that it can be traced, you know, through scripture. And that apparently the Jews, you know, were supposed to know about the coming of the Messiah, and they rejected him, and that they had evidence to know who he was, you know, because of the scriptures that they had, the Word of God, and they were able to know because of a specified line of heritage that can be traced out.
Not necessarily, because there it would be seed of man, because the genealogy never went through woman. It always went through the man. And seed of woman would, if anything, contradict that idea. Because the genealogy always was through man. It always went through the father. And there were no women in the genealogy.
Oh, well, I guess I'm just in general, you know, like that.
I think what you're putting the emphasis on seed instead of on woman. You're emphasizing the idea of seed rather than the idea of woman. And so it really isn't what it's pointing at. See, it would even contradict that. It would even contradict the idea of genealogy, because the seed of woman. And it was always through the male seed that they followed genealogy. That's why Jesus had two genealogies. Nobody else did. He did. Really. Because he didn't have an earthly father. His father was God. There's 5 points for every question, unless I tell you different. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh! That's right, some of you came in late, didn't you? And I didn't give them to you. Let's see, what number did you come in on? You only missed the first four. We'll kind of see how you do on the rest of it, and we'll kind of sneak you by. What did you do? You're number six? Yeah, I'm planning on making the class pass fail. This is just keeping you told. But that's, so we won't worry about making sure you do it all. Yes?
Could somehow the seed of the woman also be the man-child, in that, like, the woman is the church,
mm-hmm.
and the man-child is going to be brought forth as it's a birth?
Not by man, either.
But it's
through the church,
woman,
by God.
The woman, you know, it's like the church is
right.
a woman.
That's right.
And
it's perfect
the church brings forth.
That's right.
The seed.
That's right. And it's not by man. See, that's the whole point. That's why seed of woman. See, because it's not by man. It's by God. That's how a man child is brought forth. But the church is a vehicle. See? So it's the same thing there that's true in the other. It's a virgin birth. We're born of a virgin. See, we're not by man's labors. A man child will not be by man's labors. It will be through the labor of the Holy Spirit. The power of the highest will overshadow it. Okay, number two. What does the serpent's head refer to? Anybody?
Satan's authority.
Satan's authority. Perfect. Satan's authority, or you could say his position, or his power, or his headship, or something along that line. The serpent's head. Number three. Christ's heel being bruised refers to, what was the incident? You can tell me. John.
It was crucifixion, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's death. Crucifixion is death. That's when he was bruised. And what is it implying? Tell me again.
It implies, I can't exactly think of the right words, but Christ suffered, but what he brought forth was so much greater.
Okay.
He brought forth, salvation and bruised the head of the serpent.
Right. Through that.
He was brought back. Christ was raised from the
dead. There you hit it. He was raised from the dead. It was temporary. See, that's what it means. When your head is crushed, you die. When your heel is bruised, you'll heal. You know? It'll be all right after a little bit. It'll be a short, exactly 3 days long, as a matter of fact. And it lasted, and then he was healed because he was raised from the dead. And so that's what it implies, just like you say. So it's something along that line that is temporary and with that kind of an idea. Kathy?
Number two, I've always
serpent's
head, so what does that refer to? I always said the idea that refers to the Antichrist. Can it?
The serpent's head?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I told you Genesis 3:15. No, it doesn't refer to the Antichrist in there. It's involved in it, but that's not referring to it. It's involved in it. Scott?
Okay, it sounds pretty good. His ministry is involved in
the healing. Is heel being bruised?
Ministry is
involved. Right. Oh, I see. That's what he was implying. Oh, I see. The more than his walk is referring to his least member. The head, the farthest point from the head is the heel. Did he? Okay, well, that's perfect then, sure. Fine. I had never thought of it, as a matter of fact, in that manner, as the heel being the walk in the ministry, but it's really true, although... Yeah, I suppose you could say that. I never thought of it that way. So, they're all 5 points, unless I tell you different. All 5 points, yes.
I had the idea that his walk was affected, and that it was pointing to a physical suffering that he goes through.
Right. See, that's the point. The headship is rulership. The heel is referring to that which is least, which is physical, you know, his body and so forth. And it was just temporary, and it was easily healed and that sort of thing. And the main point I have here is it's only temporary, see. And it just related to his least member, which had been his physical body. So, Doris?
One question, Doris.
It would probably be two and a half to two and a half. Whenever there's two aspects of it, just take half off, okay? Kathy?
Okay,
let's
see. I don't know if this would be right. Aren't they being good for Christ's dominion, or implying power over darkness, God in control?
I guess I'd have to almost know the mind of the person to put it down. They're referring to that, well, his heel being bruised, is that referring to his control was lost for a short time? You know, or what? Because the heel being the heel, Christ's heel, is referring to his lesser member, not his dominion. No, that's wrong anyway. Okay, number four. What is the childbearing? Anybody? Birth of Christ. Birth of Christ, yeah. That's the child. How is she saved? By Jesus, obviously. So the childbearing is the birth of Christ. Scott?
Man child.
Man child? No. The childbearing is Christ. Yeah.
That a woman Mary shall take part in the Messiah's coming.
Yes, that's fine. That's it. That's even better. Okay, number five. Committing iniquity, does it apply to Jesus? How many say yes? How many say no? Yes, it does. How does it apply? Sin.
They took on our iniquity and was
chastised. He became sin. He became sin, and he was chastised. In fact, the wrath of God fell on him. We haven't gotten into that yet in our class discussion, but we're going to see how, in a very real sense, he became sin. Well, he did become sin. We talked about it before, and so we have covered it in class. But now, if they said no, but then they say the same thing, did anybody do that? Sometimes people do that. What did you say, Mark?
I said he was tempted in all points at the end.
Yes, but then you're saying that scripture didn't apply to him. But you're wrong. It does. Right. Yeah, it does. Yes.
Well, first of all, no, the iniquity refers to Solomon, Christ without iniquity. Then if a prophecy refers to Christ and his second advantage, inasmuch as he took on himself all the sin of the world and his
punishment. In other words, yes. It could apply to Christ, truly, in a secondary manner, because Solomon did sin, and of course he was chastised with the rod of men, but so was Jesus. It was the Romans that killed him. And so it refers to him. Remember now, I brought in class about in Psalms, and David was praying, he said, Lord, forgive my sins. And I said, I think I even asked you the question, do you think that refers to Jesus? And then I said, yes, it does. It does, because he became sin. And therefore, he is standing in the stead of us, requesting forgiveness. Okay, where are we here? Number six. Why do the Jews have no excuse? Simply because the scripture is obviously clear that the Messiah was going to be God come in the flesh. That's why. The prophecies were plentiful that the Messiah would be God, the Heavenly Father, Almighty God. So the prophecy was plentiful, yes.
Because that in their own law it said, ye are God.
Well, okay, I'll accept that because that's what Jesus is. Because that's what they're arguing about. They're saying, you blaspheme. You said, well, in your own law. You know. Okay, we'll accept that. Number seven. One specific way. Well, first of all, he was an intercessor like Moses. Second of all, and probably the most important one, is that he was face to face with God. He spoke face to face with God. Third of all, his face shone the glory of God. Fourth of all, he builded the house of God like no other prophet did. And these are what Christ was. Those are the four main ones I have. And so just go ahead and make your own judgment on that one, because we could go all over the map on that one. Number eight, the ladder signifies what? Who can tell me what the ladder signifies? Kathy?
Well,
a go-between. That's right, which is a mediator. Okay, and it was fulfilled by Jesus. He's the mediator. Okay, so there's two answers. Oh, number eight, I want 6 points. 3 points for each. 3 points as mediator or a go-between, or you could also say access. And then 3 points for it being Christ. Okay? Number nine. Number nine is worth 12 points. 2 points for each office. Okay? Priest, king, judge, shepherd, prophet, mediator, savior, messiah. Now, if you put Savior, you can't also put Deliverer and Redeemer, because those are all the same. Savior, Deliverer, and Redeemer are all the same one. Prince, Governor, Leader or Commander, those are the same ones. And then a House Builder. Okay? That's 12 of them.
Kinsman Redeemer.
Pardon me? Kinsman Redeemer would be the Mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prophet.
Prophet, yes, I mentioned that. Prophet, Mediator, yeah. Counselor? Yes, counselor. Oh, I guess it says counselor, doesn't it? Well, bless the Lord. Put another one down. Counselor. Yes. We'll have to accept counselor. Because he did fulfill that office as a counselor. And a counselor, I guess you'd put counselor with judge. You can't have counselor and judge both. Yeah. We'll put counselor with judge. Okay?
Healer, teacher.
Healer. Well, let's see, a teacher. My, what are we doing here?
Teacher.
Healer. Oh, we're talking about offices now. Teacher's an office. Healer really isn't an office. So I couldn't accept healer. That would be along with deliverer. Maybe give him half for being a deliverer. If they had deliverer too, then healer doesn't count. Teacher. No.
You gave
it. Pastor
teacher. Okay, it's an office. He certainly is a teacher. I'm trying to see if it fits in any of these others, and a lot of them teach, but I guess I will have to accept that one separate. Teacher.
Yes? Do you accept both high priest and priest of the order of Melchizedek together?
No, just priest. Okay. Number 10. This is only worth 3 points. This is only worth 3 points. And that's 490 years. Okay? And then number 11 is only worth 3 points. And that's 483 years. 483 years, which is 7 years less. How many got those right?
Number 10.
Number 10 is 490. Number 11 is 483. Well, you miss it. Well, what do they say? Close, but... Anyway, they have some parable about it. Close doesn't count. I think that's all they say. Yes.
How would you agree that 9, how many points is involved?
3 points. Oh, number 9? 2 points each, 12 points total. Okay, 12. What event when he was Messiah the Prince? That's baptism. That's when he was anointed. Messiah means the anointed one. Remember that? That's 5 points. All of them are 5 points unless I tell you different. Okay, number 13. Why was there a gap? It didn't really mention the gap. It just mentions he was cut off in the midst of the week. The gap was because the Jews wouldn't accept him. Remember I went over in class and I said if they would have accepted him, there'd been no gap.
But he was rejected, cut off?
That's it. Rejected, cut off. Jews wouldn't have him. He wasn't received.
Unbelief
of the people. Exactly. John 1:11? Perfect. Yes.
What does the Gentiles mean?
The Gentiles don't affect that. Okay. No. It was just the Jews because he came to his own. His own receiving not. Just to his Jews. Okay, number 14. Christ fulfilled the last 3.5 years. That's what fulfills it. Jesus.
Not man.
No. Only Jesus. It says very plainly that that he will confirm the covenant for a week. So Jesus confirmed it. 15. How many will be blind, deaf, and crippled? Let me have some answers out there. John.
3 and 70,000.
3 and 70,000? How did you get that? What to do is what's the possibility that one will have all of this? So it couldn't be 3. 3 and 70,000 would be 1 in so many thousand. You know? What is it?
50 times 10 to the 8.
Yes, that's the answer. 50 times 10 to the 8. That would be 5 with 9 zero.
Would be 1 in 5.
1 in 5 billion. In other words, 1 in 5 billion. All you do, brethren, is multiply 5,000 by 2,000 by 500. That's all you do. That's all you do.
5 and 9 zeros.
Exactly. 5 and 9 zeros. 5 billion. You got to multiply.
I multiplied, didn't I? Add a zero.
Oh, did you? Well, just put a smile next to his. Okay, number 16. Okay, to what two things my son called out of Egypt referred to? Israel coming out of Egypt, the Exodus, and Christ coming out of Egypt after he fled from Herod. Okay? The Exodus and then Jesus going out of Egypt.
That point through.
Yes. Now there's two aspects like that, just split in half. Yes.
The answer is not very specific here. Israel called out from bondage.
No, that's all right.
Jesus Christ. Just Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's all right. That's easy. Okay, number 17 is worth 8 points. 4 points for each answer. The two scriptures and then what they contain. And 1 point for the exact scripture reference and 3 points for the content of the verse. Okay? It's Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our own image. And it's Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Or, you know, at least you have it.
How many points is that to you?
8 points total for the whole question. 4 points for each scripture. 1 point for the reference and 3 points for the content.
I got another question concerning 16.
Yeah.
Would another answer be the rapture of the man's house? Taken out of Egypt.
Brother? Yeah, I think it would. How many think it would?
What we can.
How many think it wouldn't?
Because you said
historical. Oh, yeah, for this answer. But I mean, well, one prophetic one. Did they put two prophetic ones, or did they?
No, one of them was
Egypt.
Jesus coming out of Egypt. And then the other one was.
Oh, the Manchild. Well, they missed it. They missed one of them because we did say one historic and one prophetic. But I feel that that's prophetic of the rapture, too. Hmm. And the reason why is because we're talking about, because of safety's sake, my son, and if it applies to Christ, it applies to the saints. And when are the saints taken out of Egypt? That's really good, I think. Because that's how messianic prophecy works. That's how it works. That it applies, that's where it applies, and then you can take it, and you have that right to do so. Huh?
Historically, didn't Jesus come out of Egypt?
Well, but that was written in Hosea. Oh, I see what you thought. But to Hosea, the historical one was the Exodus. I didn't make that very clear. Well, we'll let you have it. We'll let him have it. Did you know about the Exodus?
I didn't have it in my mind.
You didn't take it in your mind. I better take some off there. Anyway, it's worth how many points?
It's worth five points.
This is where, in correcting text, correcting test is where you have to become a legalist. You know what I mean? If we went by the spirit of the test, what we would do is we'd take some computer and find out what's in your head and put a little hat on and go, and then take all your knowledge and then lay it all out. And we put all your knowledge next to everybody else's understanding and have to do the spiritual principle and everything, and then we put you all in a line and we give you a grade. But you can't do that. How can you do that, see? Well, see, if he didn't have it in his mind, you know, legalistically, he'd miss it anyway. I thought, well, he was thinking the other way. But since he didn't have it in his mind, now I won't give it to him, see? So he missed his half of it. Anyway, good teaching on that, yes.
You ever passed
out 10 minutes? Oh, didn't I? Oh, dear.
I got two questions. One, 17. Yes. Adam and Eve were clothed with ram skin. Is that kind of, does that apply there? I know it's not the most direct one, but I see what you're saying. Give half, give two points. And then on 16 I had, actually it'd be one and a half points. Go ahead. Prophetic of saints set apart for God. Does that apply?
In 16?
Yeah. As far as prophetic.
Saints set apart for God. Brought out of Egypt. Yeah, that's all right. That's for the prophetic one. That's all right.
Okay.
Number 18. Yeah, the chapter in, is Isaiah 53. Isaiah, that gives them... Oh, 18 is a three-point question. They have Isaiah, they get 1 point. They have Isaiah 53, they get 3 points. Okay, add it all up, the minus ones, and subtract from 100, and put the score at the top.
Excuse me. On the questions 1 through 7, were they all 5-point questions?
If I didn't see anything different, yes. Let me look at it. Okay, 7, 1 through 7. Yes, they all are 5-point questions. I hope you're getting the feel for messianic prophecy and how veiled it is and how it's all the way through there. And if it sounds anything like Jesus or something that he did, you can be sure that that's prophecy. Just about always. It's veiled in there, but it's there. Okay, let's get to our notes then. Go ahead and turn it up front. pass up front? I wanted to get through this ministry and anointing today. But I have 7-8 more sections, and I guess I won't be able to do it. I'm not planning on making this a graded class, but who knows? Maybe there'll be a. It's easy to take a test when you know it's pass fail, don't you?
Hey, don't sweat.
So when it's not, every single point, got to struggle for every point. I probably would too. Okay. Oh boy, I think almost. It's only a couple of minutes. But I have so much to cover. Did I give you another assignment this class yet? Yeah. Well, let's see. Do you have your notes out?
Yes.
I hate to get started in something and then quit in just a minute. Yeah, I was just going to say, did I ask you why? Yeah, I did, about Isaiah and Luke, didn't I? I'm going to tell you a quick story then. In graduate class, we went through and we discussed and researched on Messianic prophecies, and it was one of the most exciting things. It was just exciting. We went through a whole Bible in the Old Testament and searched out Messianic prophecies. There was one brother in that class, very analytical thinker, and he just could not accept the idea of finding types just all over the place. He just says, unless it really says that it's ironclad and clear as a bell, I can't accept it. And, well, anyway, we took different sections, and he got a certain section in the middle of Psalms. We go through all these Psalms, and we all had different sections, so between all of us in the class, we covered the whole Old Testament on Messianic prophecy. And he was going through the Psalms, and he came to one, and he says, well, that's kind of interesting. That's an interesting scripture. You know, I wonder. You know, that might apply to Jesus. And it used the word parable. And he says, who knows? So he wrote it down as a Messianic prophecy, and he thought he flipped to a New Testament scripture to use as a parallel. You know, and he was just kind of looking through it. And then come to find out that very verse was quoted in the New Testament as Jesus fulfilling it by speaking parables. Never since that time he became a believer of Messianic prophecy and seen how it's hidden everywhere. Because it didn't really fit in the context. You know what I mean? See, that's the point. Well, it doesn't fit in the context. We're not talking about the Messiah, but stuck right in the middle of it is a reference. But, well, anyway, just for fun, we'll put it down. And then come to find out the very thing was quoted in the New Testament. And after that, he became a lot more open to looking at types of Messianic prophecies in the New Testament. Yes.
Well, that's exactly the problem I had with that one assignment you handed out, because
yes.
I was looking for something specific.
I figured you would.
And you mentioned there how you found that verse in the parable, or in the...